good.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to open the 28 January Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. Start with the roll call. Present, we have Katie Chase, James Steele, Eugene Thorne, Ross Buffington, and Marshall McClintock. And Maureen Screven, sorry. Okay, next I'd like to move on to the consent agenda. First, the approval of the minutes. Are there any amendments or changes to the minutes?
Can I just make one comment? On page 5 of the minutes, when we're talking about the stop work order on the carport at 1121 North 7th, it says that Mr. Buffington reported that, to his knowledge, the North Slope did not allow carports. And I should have been a little bit more definitive in my statement. I did go back and look at the North Slope guidelines, and it does say clearly there that attached garages and carports are inappropriate. Okay. So I just wanted to point that out. I wasn't very definitive, but I should have been. Okay. That's is in fact what the guidelines say.
Great. Thank you, sir. Are there any other comments, concerns about the minutes? Okay. Are there any administrative review comments?
Are there any comments or things to ask the commission?
Okay. Are there any comments regarding the administrative reviews? No. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Steele. Thank you, Ms. Chase. I would like to call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the public hearing for the George H. Wayhauser Park. I'd like to open the meeting at this point and have the following instructions. This is a hearing to take public comment on the proposed naming of the George H. Wayhauser Jr. Park. I'll invite the representative of the application to make a statement. Public will then have an opportunity to comment. There's a sign-in sheet, or there was a sign-in sheet at the front of the room that we'll ask you to use. When it's your turn to comment, please state your name and the area of residence. Please keep your comments brief. Following public comments, the comment period will remain open for 30 days per the City Council naming policy. After the end of the public comment period, the Commission will consider the comments and the application at its March 11th, 2015 meeting. Do we have any public comments? I'm sorry, do we have a staff report?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. I'll just make this really brief. This is pursuant to Council Resolution 3091. The Landmarks Preservation Commission reviews and makes recommendations to City Council regarding name change requests. The purpose of this public hearing is to receive comments on this request. Following this hearing, the public record will be open for 30 days minimum to allow for additional comment. After the comment period, the Landmarks Commission will forward a recommendation to City Council for further review. So this is the George H. Wayhauser Jr. Park, 1955, 2101, and 2119 Dock Street. The Foss Waterway Development Authority is requesting to name the park at the above address, the George Wayhauser Jr. Park. The park consists of three parcels on either side of the 509 Bridge. Two parcels are owned by the Development Authority, and one parcel is owned by the City of Tacoma. The currently unnamed park was built in 2009. This was the site of a butter tub factory, which became Harmon Cabinets and later burned down in the early 1990s. George H. Wayhauser Jr. served on the boards of the Foss Waterway Development Authority and the Museum of Glass from 1999 until his death on April 14, 2013. Aside from being a part of the Wayhauser Company family, he was influential in the development of the Foss Waterway as a founding trustee of the Museum of Glass, as the Foss Waterway Development Authority board president from 2001 to 2004, and as the chairman and president of the Urban Design Review Committee. According to the material submitted with the request, the waterway is a direct result of his widely recognized advocacy and leadership. The Foss Waterway Development Authority has collected letters of support from the community, neighborhood groups, and local institutions. Those were submitted with the original name change request in the packet, and then we also have additional letters and emails that have been handed out to the commission at this meeting. There is no action at this time that's required from the commission. As stated before, the comment period will be open for 30 days following the close of this hearing.
Okay. Thank you, sir. At this point, do we have any public comments?
Sure, I will.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Bill Driscoll, cousin of George Wayhauser, currently on the Foss Waterway Development Authority as well. I live in Tacoma, Washington. George obviously was a son of Tacoma and grew up here and lived here, was passionate about the rehabilitation of Tacoma and helped achieve where it is today. I like to talk that he enjoyed, he would park down in the cost waterway and walk up to his office because he was very cheap and didn't want to pay for parking, but also because he liked very much to be part of it and to use the Foss Waterway. So I can't imagine a better person to honor with this park, and certainly hope that you will act on that affirmatively. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Briscoe. Any other comment? Okay, thank you. At this point, I'd like to invite any comments from the commissioners. Since there are none, I'd like to go ahead and declare the public hearing closed. And we'll move on to the next item in the consent agenda, which is the design review for 601 North J Street.
Thank you.
Can we get up the staff report, please?
Thank you. 601 North J Street, built in 1950, is a non-contributing structure in the North Slope Historic Special Review District. The applicant is requesting approval for the demolition of the 22-foot by 20-foot detached garage, which is now settled and tilting. This has damaged the driveway and public sidewalk. After demolition, the driveway and sidewalk will be removed, regraded, and replaced. No work is being done to the main structure. The applicant has indicated that it would be cost prohibitive to repair or replace. Action requested is approval of the above scope of work. This building is a non-contributing structure in the North Slope Historic Special Review District, and as such, demolition of accessory structures is subject to review by this commission. The garage is a non-contributing accessory building. Staff recommends approval of the application.
Thank you. And I believe we have Mr. Masters here representing the property itself. Are there any comments you'd like to make?
There's a water issue in the lot, and we need to regrade the driveway, and we're going to do that. The garage doesn't really work with the existing. In order to grade it and get the surface water to work after meeting the land use, it's the best approach you can do.
I have one question. The pictures that the commission have in their packet don't really give the full sense of that building, because there's actually another story and almost a half of foundation below what is in the pictures. I was just wondering about that foundation down there. Is it in trouble as well, or?
From what we can tell from working with land use, apparently before it was built, there was a ravine that went through there and was
absolutely
built on fill. So behind that is the retaining wall.
Okay.
So I don't think that's part of the action. I think the retaining wall went in and the garage was built above it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that retaining, well, it was looked at with one of the inspectors. To the south of the actual big part of the retaining wall, there are some minor cracks and some water leakages going through. But that's because the driveway has sunk in the middle,
okay,
and so it's collecting water. It gets up to a foot deep, and then it has nowhere to go, and it seeps down through and travels. So that's the point of trying to get it regraded, get the water traveling off as it originally was built.
Just for the commission, I wanted to say I attended John Sandstrom's memorial service this past Saturday. He was the long-time owner of this building, and a great supporter of the neighborhood. And he'll be sorely missed in the neighborhood. But he was well aware of the problems here, and we support this demolition and regrading and so forth. So, but look forward to seeing the apartment building, filled again and having folks there. So.
Thank you. Any other discussion from commission members? Questions? Okay. At this point, is there a motion?
I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the application as submitted for 601 North J Street, the removal of the garage.
Second. Thank you. Motion made by Ms. Chase and seconded by Mr. Steele. And discussion on the motion.
if there is any discussion we want to have, otherwise you can.
Okay. Is there any further discussion we need to have on the motion? Okay, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. All right, motion carried. Thank you very much.
So staff will be able to sign off on any permits. Yeah.
Thank you.
We can do that tomorrow if you need to.
Okay. Tomorrow, Fred, I'll connect my schedule.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Is there other work underway there on the house right now?
There was some brick repair of replacing the existing brick that was back into it.
Okay.
But it's been all on stop work. So we're waiting to get the approval so we can finish it and put it all back.
And are you going to replace the driveway that's there with a new parking area for the residents? Is that the intention?
Yeah, just regrade it, put new concrete back in.
Okay. You're keeping the same apron approach to the driveway, just pouring a new driveway that will get leveled
up. The sidewalk is also sunk too, so we'll redo the sidewalk, get it all, there's trip hazards and stuff, so we'll put it all back to current code.
Cool.
Just for the commission's information too, there are sidewalks and driveway standards that are in the public works file just for the North Slope Historic District, so that those, as long as they stay with the standards, don't have to come through the Landmarks Commission review process. If they depart from them, then we usually do, but...
They're going back in per standards.
Great. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 5, board briefing on the Winthrop Hotel.
So, I think I'm guessing that our architect probably caught in traffic.
I think he's stuck in traffic, unfortunately.
coming from Seattle. I can read in the staff report. This is going to be a briefing regarding the Winthrop Hotel renovations. There is information in your packets as well. It was Jeff Green.
I'm Ryan Fusen.
Oh,
I work with that's right. I work with Jeff Green for Redwood Housing Partners. We are the proposed the developer of the Winthrop. Les Tonkin, who will be joining us hopefully any moment, is the architect on that project as well. And so I'm happy to give the background. We obviously provided some information. We're happy to answer any and all questions that we can at this juncture about the project that we're very excited about working on. But I don't know if you want to give the overview. If I should give an overview, however you...
I can get my blurb and then set you up.
Yeah, that's great. And then Les is coming. He's got boards. He has pictures and a whole bunch of other stuff. Hopefully, it won't be too long.
Okay. So most of you are probably familiar with the Winthrop Hotel. It's a 776 Commerce Street in the Old City Hall Historic District. And the hotel was built in 1925 and is associated with Tacoma's early 20th century economic development. It is a contributing structure within the district and was converted to low-income apartments in the 1970s, I think 1972 probably. The building still retains much of its historic fixtures and its character, including the Crystal Ballroom. In 2004, Tonkin Architecture completed a survey and existing condition report, which details the need for restoration work, including window replacement, non-original window replacement, repainting, re-roofing, plumbing, HVAC, electrical, and general repair work. The proposed work also includes removing and adding interior walls and bringing the building into code and into ADA compliance. And this is going to be a federal tax credit project, I believe.
Correct.
And so what you have in your packet, what was submitted, are excerpts from both the what's called the National Park Service Part 1 application, which is certification of the historic structure. Basically, the Park Service has to certify that the building is National Register eligible. And then the Part 2 is the set of plans that are being submitted to the Park Service for their pre-approval as the project goes forward. And then I believe there are a number of current and historic photographs within that package as well. And so having said that, Ryan
Fusen is the
project developer, and Les is on his way.
Yes, we got stuck in the same traffic, so I'm assuming he's hopefully past 5 by now. He left an hour before he was supposed to be here, so hopefully any time. But again, happy to answer really any questions. We're to give you a little bit more information and background, and Ruben did a great job of summarizing what we're looking to do. Obviously, the Winthrop is a very important historic landmark for the city of Tacoma and for people outside the city of Tacoma. We're really excited about having the opportunity to come in and significantly improve the project. It has not had much, if any, work done to the project since it was converted to low-income housing circa 1972, and it's really a shame. There's still a lot of great character, still a lot of kind of the original bones and charm that, you know, come with the Winthrop and a building that was built to such high degree of standards in 1925. And so we're excited to, you know, put a bunch of money into the project, improve the, you know, the external facade of the building. We'll be spending a lot of time on the original terracotta and brick masonry. A lot of tough pointing and repair that needs to be done there on actually all levels and all surfaces to, you know, hopefully really bring it back, bring back to prominence what it was externally. All the hotel windows or apartment windows, shall I say, were replaced from their original windows during the renovation in the 1970s. We are planning to restore all the original windows that are still in and around the ballroom area, in and around the penthouse as well. The penthouse is beautiful, but it's been boarded up and functionally is a condemned space at this juncture. We are planning to repair all of those original windows, all of the roofing. As you all know, when you drive into Tacoma, you see the original penthouse roofing tiles. Those all need to be actually replaced. They cannot be repaired. The damage is so bad from the roof structure, but the intent is to replace them with a light tile, obviously keeping the same color palette, the same style, and everything else. And again, to kind of just keep the character of the building the best we can. There's system issues with this building as well that unfortunately won't help from kind of a observation or aesthetic appearance, but, you know, the plumbing is broken and it's caused, you know, a whole horrendous amount of damage throughout the building. And so that's the number one system that will need to be replaced in the building. And then obviously kind of full improvements where there'll be new carpeting, new tile, new, obviously painting and all the repair work that needs to be done in the standard renovation. But with the corridors and such, we will leave the historic nature of all those and we will not be touching anything aside from just cleaning and repairing a lot of the historical aspects of the building. And so I'll pause there. It's a 190,000 square foot building. You could talk days and days and days about it. And so I figure, you know, more here to answer questions, less as hopefully he comes, but he has so much experience just with this building, you know, has more history about it than probably anyone aside from a historian or somebody who's, you know, really spent the time and the knowledge, but a ton of history. They do great work and we're excited to be partnering with them, you know, again, to really put a significant amount of money into this project that's needed it for a long period of time and just hasn't gotten what it's needed. So I'll pause, answer questions. Just wanted to obviously, you know, provide as much information as we can on this project.
Is the building retaining its current use?
For the time being, it will be still apartment housing. There's a HAC contract on the building, and you can't just, fortunately or unfortunately, right, there's a big need for affordable housing. There's a HAP contract on the building. We can't unilaterally decide to end that HAP contract. It will be, you know, the intent is to remain affordable housing. Our team has great experience with actually making affordable housing look and feel more like market rate housing, tenant profile as well as, you know, just making sure that it's run appropriately. And unfortunately, the problem with the Winthrop, as you all probably know, it can have a pretty bad rap just because there hasn't been an ownership group in place that's been able to spend not only the money, but the time and the intention and the management team to really staff that project appropriately. So, yes, it will remain in its current use for the time being.
Can you tell us who the current owners are?
So the current owner is a group called Priam. They were a huge developer actually in the state of Washington and went through the biggest bankruptcy of a real estate developer in the state of Washington. They were primarily market rate developers. They did some hotel work. They had purchased the building from another affordable housing company, AF Evans. AF Evans was going through some financial hardship around 2007 as well. So they sold the building to Priam. Priam had plans, I believe, to redevelop it. I'm not certain exactly what those were, but they hit upon financial hardship as well. They are currently in bankruptcy. This building is being sold through a bankruptcy process, but the building itself is not in bankruptcy, but it's helped funding the other obligations that they have.
The Priam Group, in fact, did come to the Landmarks Commission 5 or 6 years ago with the plan to move out the current residence and convert it back to a first-class hotel. If my memory serves me correctly.
They briefed the commission on that. They had some design questions relating to that reuse that they wanted some feedback from the commission on.
So it's if Priam, I guess I'm still a bit confused, if Priam's in bankruptcy, and but they still own the building.
Yeah, so it, so functionally a trustee now has, so a trustee representing Priam has the authority to sell assets on behalf of Priam to fund their obligations. So Priam is in bankruptcy, the asset is being sold through that process vis-a-vis a trustee. Priam was the original group functionally, though, with the ownership of the title.
So how are the upgrades that you're proposing being financed then?
So they'll be financed. Well, so they'll be financed through a first mortgage loan. They will be financed through low-income housing tax credits. They will be financed through historic tax credits, and they will be financed through my firm's equity.
And who's doing all these applying for all these grants and mortgages and everything else?
My group.
Your group.
Redwood Housing Partners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tomkin is our architect on the project, and so they are the ones who are functionally helping with the design and the plans and making sure everything comes together.
So is Redwood buying the building?
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Okay.
When is the sale supposed to be final on that?
Within the next couple of months.
Okay. And so I'm just wondering, because of the historic tax credit application, the part one and part two, have they been submitted yet?
Yes.
Okay. Have you received approval?
So Nick Van, for example. Yeah, so Nick Van is actually reviewing the application currently for part two.
Okay.
And he plans within the next week or so to move it forward to NPS.
Okay.
And so our understanding is when Nick has done NPS functionally, has 30 days, we'll have a good view beforehand whether or not there's any issues or concerns, and we'll address them beforehand.
So at that point, would then a design review application come before us? Okay.
Part two. So this is a briefing. This is an opportunity because the eventual what happens to the Winthrop has been kind of unknown for a number of years. And just to, I think, be clear, as I understand it, the court appointed a receiver for Priam for their issues, and so this building is now being purchased by Redwood.
Yes.
And so that transaction is happening. So what the commission is this briefing is about basically is to talk about the scope and schedule and the program for the building for a pending design review later on. And so what you have before you that Tonkin Architecture submitted was just a summary of the both the building's history and the tax credit application process and the proposed scope of work. And there's a lot of it. I think it's probably fair to characterize a lot of the work on the exterior would be characterized as repair and addressing deferred maintenance issues with the masonry, the terracotta, the tile roof, I think, needs some, and probably the roof membrane also.
It's going to be a complete new roofing system, functionally, but if you look at the different components of the Winthrop, 90% of what is happening is repair work. I mean, they did a transition circa 1972, and they haven't touched the building since. And so if you go in, whether it's systems, whether it's the apartment building, the actual units themselves, the hallways and the corridors, even the retail space, you can tell nobody has come in to really give it the time and attention that it deserves or what one should do to run any sort of a property in a reasonable manner. And so when we've kind of gone through and characterized almost everything we do, what we're doing is repair and maintenance, but it is, hopefully to bring back a lot of this original character and do it the right way.
So you're saying that the primary or this preliminary scope of work is to do with bringing certain issues up to code as well as renovations to the existing skin and the roof, right?
So I know the original 2005 plan was to bring certain aspects of the building up to code. Obviously, what is required for us to do, we will do. But because of the nature, take the electrical system. The electrical system is actually a fully functioning system that was replaced in the 1970s. And there are no issues with the electrical system. And so we won't be touching, for the most part, that system. Again, we're having a meeting with the building department next week, actually, and to lay out the full set of plans and schematics. And, we've had engineers on this for quite some time. The biggest system is the plumbing system because, again, it causes consistent damage. but that it's not the intent to bring the building fully up to code of a modern high-rise, because you can't financially, unfortunately, do that.
Is this a phased development, or is this sort of the end goal for the foreseeable future?
So what we plan to do is over the next couple of years, right, through this first phase, right, is significantly improve the project. Subsequent to that, there's other opportunities, and in particular around some of the commercial space and the development of that, that we're continuing to explore. We've had conversation with, you know, both folks, the theater folks and the art folks. We've had conversations with UWT. We've had conversations with a lot of local participants who have previously been very, very interested in working in a partnership for some of these common areas and to help kind of, you know, bring the Winthrop into the community a bit more than it has been. None of those have been solidified because people want to see the first phase functionally complete, which we understand and appreciate. And so the hope would be we get through this first phase and then we subsequently continue to have those conversations and find further improvements and ways to work with the communities, because there's so much space in the Winthrop that is not part of this initial phase of the redevelopment.
So the existing units that are rented are part of the scope as far as the plumbing replacement is concerned. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. The entire plumbing system will be...
And what percentage of the units are currently occupied? Do you know? No,
but yeah, 98%. So with a long waiting list. And the reason is because it's the supply-demand, the balance, and in Tacoma in particular for affordable housing is enormous. And given this is a HUD-subsidized building, it is the first place where people will go to look for that housing need. And so despite the fact that it is not in good condition, you know, you walk around and you can just see it with your own eyes, irrespective of what's behind the walls, it still runs as a fully functioning operating apartment complex. Mm-hmm.
And so the existing residents, you'll just be working around there?
We actually have a relocation in place, and we've been working with a national consulting firm that we've worked with in the past, that all they do is specialize in relocation of tenants. The current plan is to relocate up to 20 to 25% at a time, so we can work through the plumbing issues, and depending if it's either going to be floor by floor, it's going to be based on stacks, and the reason we don't know yet is because there's two options, really, on the best way to do the plumbing system. We'll work around the plumbing, and so we'll move people out for a temporary amount of time. We will go through, we'll do kind of the full renovation of the plumbing, obviously hook those units up, renovate, you know, new appliances, flooring, windows, etc., right? Those units will come back online, and then we'll kind of recycle that until we get through the four or five different stages of the building. And obviously we burden the expense for those people to be relocated, so we pay for their apartment, we pay for their moving expenses, we pay for kind of any hardship, obviously, that this may cause during the process.
Okay, and what's your anticipated time frame for scope of work for this first phase?
We hope to start work in April.
And how long a project is it?
We think. Hello.
Hi.
We think approximately. But we're giving ourselves 18 months to complete. We're hoping, you know, we can get moving a little bit quicker, but we think we have a very high degree of confidence we can complete everything within 18 months.
Thanks.
Sure.
Is the mechanical systems going to be there?
So the elevators will be. So the elevators and the plumbing, other mechanical systems such as...
What's the EPV? I'm looking here at the mechanical room.
Yeah, so the current plan is to have new boilers, right, that will be installed as well. The boilers that you're looking at there are, you know, when this building was renovated in 1970. So they're past their useful life. They're still working fine, but part of the scope is to obviously replace all that equipment to extend the useful life of the buildings for decades and decades, and do that now, not wait until one of them breaks.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Did you say you were maintaining all the commercial space on the ground floor or changing
yes.
it?
We're maintaining the commercial space on the ground floor. There are no major improvements at this time on this first phase of the renovation that are anticipated. So Les probably knows more of the detail than I do, but there are still certain areas on the commercial space that are all original, right from the hotel days. And so those will be those will certainly be maintained, and if there's any repair work, right, again, windows or otherwise, that will be done within the context of keeping the original historic fixtures and whatnot. And then, and there's the beautiful building.
Oh, it's going.
It's going to go.
Eugene? Oh, it collapsed.
I have a quick personal anecdote to share. My grandfather was the manager of the Winthrop Hotel, and my family, my grandfather and my grandma and my dad moved here when my dad was a baby in the late 1950s to manage the Winthrop, and they lived in the Winthrop for a couple years before they moved out and got a house. So my grandma likes to tell a story about my dad was very overweight when he was a toddler because he ate so much room service food, and that he could go down to the kitchen whenever he wanted, and the cooks and everyone would just feed him whatever they want. So I don't know, it's just a strong personal connection to the building, and I'm very excited that somebody's doing something with the building, no matter how substantial it is, just that there's a preservation aspect to it, because so little has been done since the 1970s. So I think that's really great that that's being taken on. I appreciate the story. We love hearing them. Yeah, if you need any, if you need anyone to walk through and tell you what it may have looked like in the 1950s, early 60s, my dad could be a resource.
We love that. We actually welcome, you know, for everybody to, you know, to walk the Winthrop and to really understand it, because when you get inside and you actually kind of see and touch it, picture, you know, the pictures are amazing that you, you know, see the building every day, but actually being inside it and seeing what some of the original fixtures and some of that original history was like is pretty powerful. Les has spent more time than anybody in the building that I know, but I've probably spent, you know, certainly hundreds of hours in the building at this juncture, and every time you find something new, and the stories are great to go behind it.
Yeah, I started out 2003 working with a group, A.F. Evans, and they purchased the building about 2005. And we actually went through a fairly extensive design and getting close to permitting, and then they sold the building about 2006 and 2007. So the group that bought it was going to turn it into a hotel, we were told, and so I was very disappointed. We rolled our plans up and put them in the drawer, and then somehow we heard about you guys, or maybe you contacted me, because we had a fairly extensive set of plans, which at that time, which again, Ryan and his group are pretty much doing the program for redevelopment is very similar. Ryan's told me that, so. Keeping it low-income housing and very, very interested in historic aspects of restoration of the building. So we're going through it very carefully. You've told them, I suppose, about window replacement, duct pointing, brick, cleaning the exteriors, and some of the interior spaces we're looking at updating or cleaning up for sure. So, anyway.
Yeah. And look, we think it's going to be a heck of a project, and we're putting a lot of time, effort, energy, and resources into it, and are taking all the input and feedback that we can get. We know it's an important building, and we know, again, just, you know, having the opportunity to work on a project like this can make a difference, you know, not just for us. I mean, I'm actually a Seattle native, and our firm's now based in California, but my uncle got married at the Winthrop, and I didn't know that until we actually had it under contract. And you know, again, there's all these stories, right, you can continue to hear about how powerful this was, and unfortunately it doesn't have the same, you know, impact as it once did, but, you know, it means a lot to me personally. We, you know, we're going to do a really good job of it, and, you know, hopefully make it something that everyone can be proud of when we're done.
Do you have any knowledge at this point about the terracotta pieces? Are there elements of it that are in serious trouble, or does it seem to be something that's that's repairable at this stage?
I'll start, and Les might want to add on to it. So we've had a couple of folks actually that are experts in this exact type of work that have done full building exterior kind of audits and analysis. Our understanding and our belief is that most of it is repairable, even at this stage. Nothing structural, number one. And number two, even areas that are damaged, cracked, right, that you can typically repair, and tuck pointing will be a big part of this. Our full schedule and renovation actually has percentage by percentage on different kind of geographies and levels, if you will, of what work specifically needs to be done. This is a group that we're most likely planning to use. We obviously haven't signed any subcontractor contracts because we need to close the acquisition first. But the two groups, and one in particular that is leading the way, has done historic renovations before. They're very familiar with the type of kind of, you know, product that they are allowed to use both locally through MPS and otherwise, and so we feel very comfortable. Les has worked on, I don't know if it's a dozen or whatnot, and I'll let you explain, like, historic renovation projects, including a big one in Seattle that's very similar to this, and we've actually been by and seen kind of the restoration work that was done, and we're very impressed. So to answer your question, our understanding and our belief is that it is all repairable at this juncture. It's not a small budget line item, right, to do that, and especially if a building this size and scope, but we have a plan in place that addresses all of the needed repair work, both from a structural perspective and also an aesthetic perspective. Les, I don't know.
Well, we think actually the brick is in pretty good shape. Aaron's tested it. It's pretty solid. It's not a... Most of the time we're looking like the old City Hall or something as an unreinforced masonry building from the late 1800s. This is 1925. It's actually a very modern building in a lot of ways. The mortar is very good between the brick. They did actually along the top here, I've noticed that they did some on the terracotta tiles, they actually have drilled and pinned them. In some places, I guess, when they thought they were loose. We'll be checking all of the terracotta when they go over it and tuck pointing it, or if we think it's loose, we'll put a small pin in it to stabilize it, and checking it for attachments. So we have a pretty good budget for where we think we might need some tuck pointing, and typically it's on the south and west sides, on the upper portions of the building for the most part. So I don't think that's going to be a major portion of the work. But it's pretty straightforward.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm excited that you guys are repairing the windows instead of presenting an all-over replacement package, as that often comes to us. So they're not able to be repaired. So I think that's great, and I look forward to seeing what new windows go in replacing the 1972 ones. I think that'll be good, and it'll do a lot.
I think we'll probably be presenting them 2 years.
And we have a couple of, I think, pretty good options right now that, again, try to retain as much of that historical character as possible, and obviously a good solid window so you don't have building issues that they currently have with kind of the cheap retrofits, and then obviously the bottom levels and the penthouse will be repaired and restored fully.
Any other comments? No? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Traffic.
20 miles an hour down here today.
I informed them. I'm in the same traffic.
I apologize.
Okay, we'll move on to item number six, preservation planning and board business.
Thank you. So for just some things to put on your calendar, we'll have the #IHeartTacoma campaign launching first week of February. You'll see these cards hidden around the city. It has been corrected with the Wedge District. I will say, though, that some of the posters did go out without the Wedge District, so I'm trying to get that corrected. But the ones online are corrected, and the cards are corrected, and the ones on the website. So, slight mishap there, but I think it will still be a lot of fun. So, if you are interested, if you don't want to take your own picture, you can find me, and I will take your picture in front of whatever building you want and upload it. But I encourage you to participate, and I'm going to try to get council members and other commissioners from other boards, other bodies, to participate as well.
Is there a drop dead time for getting pictures to you?
It's all through February. The last day of February is when I will be judging the pictures. And by judging, it's going to be just the people who have the most likes on social media will be getting prizes. So, pretty open, I think.
So it's just, you know, you post the picture with the hashtag,
mm-hmm.
I Heart Tacoma, on whatever social media that you use.
Mm-hmm. And you're encouraged to like and follow the Facebooks and Twitters of us and the artists. And if you do not have those accounts, then I can do it for you. So if you want
to... So you don't have to have an Instagram account anymore?
No, you can use Facebook.
Yeah, I can just use Facebook.
Twitter.
Yeah. Along with the pictures of my kids, I can have the picture.
Because yeah.
That's all Facebook is.
Because then they'll all be linked, so someone can click on it.
Exactly.
And then see all of
my kids in the picture. It's yeah. Double duty. That's how I get the most likes.
Lauren's going to have to show me how to do this.
I'll have to go out with you and take a picture. And then the other thing is the Heritage Mixer on February 7th at noon after the annual Heritage League board meeting. And that's just a mixer for people in the preservation and heritage world to talk about their events, get volunteers, share ideas. So that should just be fun. And then do you have an update on the Washington Trust board meeting?
Oh yes. February
20th and 21st?
20th and 21st. So the Washington Trust, did I mention this last meeting? I think I did. We're still working on the final venue, but there will be a reception on the 20th. The Washington Trust typically does a site visit and reception, and then their board meetings on Saturdays. And so during Friday, everybody on the commission should be receiving an invitation to the Trust's reception, and it's a nice time to meet the board of the Trust and all the Trust entourage, and as well as their invites are going out to a number of different organizations, Historic Tacoma, I think, Council and City Manager, and so on. So, so mark your calendars for February 20th, and look forward to it. I probably have to go myself. So.
Is it an evening
thing? It's going to be an evening thing. The reception is usually evening. They're probably like a, it'll be an evening.
Okay.
And but you will receive either from them directly or through me an invitation to it.
Okay. The thing on the 7th, what time is that?
It's noon at the Harmon. And it's just right after the board meeting. So it's pretty open flow casual, so if you get there a little early or a little late, that's fine. It's no set program. And then if you're done explaining the trust.
I'm done.
Okay. So we have the LPC retreat on March 3rd that I got confirmations from everyone except for Jonah and I think Laureen. I don't know. Did I get your confirmation for March 3rd?
I thought I sent it.
Okay.
I am playing.
Okay, great. Okay. I put you down as coming, okay. And I may have just ordered a sandwich, so you might have to swap. But that's 9:30 to 4 p.m., and we have 65 people coming from around the state.
Wow.
So it's cool. Going to be, I think, a lot of fun.
We have to remember all their names, but...
Yeah.
Test.
I'm trying to get some name tags going. And then I have another request for you guys. On May 15th, we're having the Hilltop Spoken Word Contest as part of Preservation Month, so I would like one judge from this commission, if someone's available. We have someone from the Arts Commission already. You don't need to know anything about poetry or spoken word, but we'd like someone to represent the LPC, so I don't know if anyone wants to do that. We'll have, I think, Fab Five is going to DJ. And I think a poet laureate will be presenting as well. So,
and then the date on that is
May 15th It's at the Surehouse Church in Hilltop, and it's going to be in the evening, probably 6 to 9, maybe 5:30 to 8:30. We're tweaking the exact minutes. So, and then our last issue is the Preservation Awards on May 31st. So Ruben had the idea of getting people in the community to nominate possible winners, I guess, potential winners, four categories. And some of your old categories were stewardship and historic preservation, downtown revitalization, and leadership in historic preservation. So from you, I would like suggestions for categories that you want to give awards to, and you can email that to me, or you can say it now, or say it later. You have some time until May 31st. But at the beginning of May, I will be putting out some emails with the categories people can nominate, and some SurveyMonkey digital nomination forms.
So every year, the Landmarks Commission has typically put together an awards committee. And then that committee, the categories for preservation awards have always been fluid. So they change from year to year. And I mentioned a couple times to the commission that it might be interesting and maybe a fun way to try to engage the community, and also maybe even highlight or become aware of things that the commission wasn't previously aware of by soliciting nominations from the public. And so we haven't done that yet. And if the commission isn't opposed to doing that, we now have Lauren who can chase it down and actually make it happen. So I would invite feedback on that. I mean, otherwise we can default and go back to the committee kind of working through that, but it might be a fun way to do it, just like the State Historic Preservation Office does that as well.
Could you phrase it as something like getting advice, and then that way you might have some feedback from some categories that's really good, and then other categories that's not so.
Well, yeah, I'm not proposing that we do every suggestion that comes in, is published on our website or anything like that. I'm more thinking that that submittals will come in, and then the staff and commissioners who are working on that would make the determination which ones are suitable.
And you could have some categories that only staff and commission.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's however you really want to do it.
I didn't envision having like a popularity contest necessarily, but more of a just trying to get ideas and participation from the public.
And you said four categories. I think one was downtown
revitalization.
Yes.
What were the other three?
Leadership in historic preservation and stewardship in historic preservation. And these were just your categories from last year. And I think couldn't really understand some of the notes from a few years. But did you also nominate or give awards to certain nominations?
We have in the past. The commission's done all sorts of things. We can email out to the commission a summary of some of the past. I mean, we've summarized them before and some of the past activities. And I don't want to step on Lauren's toes. Lauren has a Preservation Month committee with interested stakeholders. We don't have any sort of subgroup of the commission that's working on this as well. If there's anybody who's particularly interested in that and in making some of those decisions, that would be helpful. Probably.
I think some of the commissioners came to some of the early meetings and were in some of the brainstorming sessions, so jump back in whenever.
But we can certainly send out some of the past categories. Those four categories from last year. And I think like the downtown revitalization was like Space Works was an example of one that we gave an award to. And in that case, the commission wanted to recognize not necessarily historic preservation specific things that were contributing positively to preservation. And so, and that might have been actually a new category from the first time we ever used that one. So sometimes the categories are defined by the awards.
Yeah, I think there was even discussion about expanding that to revitalization for future use, not calling it downtown revitalization. So that might be something where we open it up more broadly if we don't have something specifically in downtown.
Nothing set in stone. And also if we put up four categories, we don't receive nominations suitable in any one category, we just don't award that category.
We could easily have different awards for Pierce County for moving their facilities out of the downtown.
All right. If there are no other updates, okay.
All right.
At this point, I'd like to close the meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission.
Sound off.
Good job.
Thank you for being gentle, everyone.